welcome to episode 3 of Mishmash Mayhem.
Mishmash Mayhem.
The podcast where we take the schoolyard conversation of, hey, which fictional character would win in a fight, and we talk about it on a podcast.
That's what this is.
It is what this is. This is the third iteration of it.
Indeed, yeah. You know what they say about iterations.
They come in threes.
No. To be honest, I don't know what I was going to say, because anything I say is probably going to be wrong, and some maths nerd is going to be like, that's not what they say about innovations.
No.
I was going to say, they get closer to the final answer. But
we never asked the question. I suppose we did ask a question, but we answer every episode. I suppose the final question answer would be, who is the character that beats every fictional character?
Surely there isn't one.
Well, I don't know. Isn't Nintendo saying it Kirby?
Well, yeah, but I mean, like, think of Super Smash Bros. And how often Kirby gets beat. His pasty little pink bum smashed out the screen.
It's true. Also, Nintendo have officially said anything that happens in Smash Bros. Isn't canon, so...
Oh, have they?
Yeah.
Oh.
Because the whole story behind Smash Bros. Is it's just kids playing with Nintendo toys. That's what Master Hand is. It's the child's hand moving the toys around.
Really?
Yeah.
That's awesome. I didn't know that. So what's Crazy Hand? Is that a kid with, like...
That's the other hand, because people traditionally have two hands.
I do, yeah, but I mean, like, Crazy Hand is a bit more crazy, so is it, you know, they got spasms in there?
I don't think that's really ever gone into. You could add that to the theory, like, go on some fan theory website, and hey, I think perhaps the person playing with the Nintendo toys is mildly disabled and thus has a twitchy, but crazy hand.
And that is perfectly, what's the word, when you're accommodating lots of people.
PC?
Yeah, but I was trying to think of a more PC term than PC.
Oh. I don't know. PC pandering.
PC pandering. Oh my god, what excellent. I'm pretty constable pandering. Anyway, that's well off tops.
We do occasionally go off topic.
I don't think any of it ever goes into the final one though, does it? Or does some of it?
Some of it does.
I think some of it should. I think it adds a bit of character.
There's a bit of tangenting. Unless it's like a horrendously offensive tangent it usually stays in.
that's fair. What did you do today? Oh, I offended our entire audience of 2 people. I don't know what our audience is like. We don't have an audience yet.
You say that, but today, February 3rd, day of recording, is the day that episode 1 will go live.
Whoa, hot piss, guys.
It's really exciting. So hopefully... at least by tomorrow, we will have an audience of 2.
Yeah, us 2.
Yes, that's it. We're just going to do it over and over with refresh to get lots of hits.
I'll just borrow my friend's computer, change IP addresses.
Wilco said he listens to everything on his channel once it goes out, so that's at least 1.
Boom. Headshot.
That's it. And Katie said she'll listen to it.
Nice.
So that's 2. Katie's mum said she'd listen to it, potentially, so that's 3.
Oh, you know, that's 150% of our expected. Yeah, we're doing good. Let's go. Speaking of let's go.
Yeah.
Let's go!
Oh, where are we going?
I don't know. Jamaica?
Cool. Hi, I'm Chris.
I'm Wade. Or Matt. Or both.
Oh, you're bringing back the many names this time.
Oh, sure. You know, why not? If there's anything I'm consistently, it's inconsistent.
The man who has more similar names than I do socks.
I mean, yeah. I have a lot of socks, actually.
Do you?
Obviously, I'm not you.
No. Well, I realised the other day, you know, like, I've got some big fuzzy socks.
Mm.
So like, I call them my day off socks because I don't tend to wear them if I'm getting out of the house.
Yeah, that's fair.
And I realised the other day that I've got more of those than I do regular socks.
That's hilarious.
Because a lot of my regular socks in the last couple of months have ripped or broken, and then I got more fuzzy socks for Christmas than I already had. And I think I've now got more day off socks than I do regular socks.
Love it. I have a lot of socks recently because I was like, oh... you know, a couple of pairs ago now. So I went and bought a pack of nice socks and then a pack of novelty socks. And then I got given even more novelty socks. And now I just have, like, reams of socks.
Yeah, I also had more Christmas socks than I did non-Christmas socks for a while. I think that's still probably the case.
I don't like Christmas socks. Socks for Christmas? Fine. Christmas socks? No.
I don't think that with any Christmas clothing, you can only really wear it at Christmas and it's a bit...
I mean, to be fair, you can get away with socks because, like, you know, they're in your shoes.
Well, that's it. I tended to wear Christmas socks all year for 2018 because I got a load for Christmas 2017 and then wore them. And then when they got washed, they were put back on top of my socks drawer and then that got worn again.
Yeah.
And it never stopped.
That's true. Like, that's the problem with a drawer system of clothes, isn't it? You just reuse the same stuff you keep cleaning over and over again.
Anyway, do you want to go through how this podcast works?
Yeah, we probably should. So what we're going to do is we're going to go through our two characters for today. They might not be characters. They might be, I suppose they are characters. We'll go through each one of them. We'll have a look at what they are, what they do, what they like, what their favourite pudding is. We might not include what their favourite pudding is. We might guess. We should have a guess of what their favourite pudding is. We will take one each and discuss it. And then we will roll the
Die of Death.
A wonderful dodecahedron. That might be wrong. I should probably get the name right. I think, what is the technical name?
20-sided die.
Yeah.
D20 is the technical name.
There's a really good name for it. An icosahedron. We roll an icosahedron with integers on to determine where they will fight. We will go through what the aspects of that terrain are, because although we've written it down, we'll decide collectively what it kind of entails when it comes to it. I mean, I don't know what half the places are. I mean, you've told me, but I don't remember.
I have told you.
You have, yeah.
Would you let me send you the list, or is it more fun for you just finding out randomly?
Oh, it's absolutely more fun finding it out randomly.
Okay.
And then we'll have a little discussion about who we think will win, and then that'll be it. And if you don't agree with us, you can tell us. You can go to our Twitter.
At podcastmmm.
Boom. There you go. Was Mismatch Mayhem already taken?
Yes.
Who the fuck took that?
It's actually some internet show in or something.
That's hilarious.
Actually, no, I don't know if I tried Mishmash Mayhem on its own. I tried Mishmash Mayhem podcast, I think.
Yeah.
And that was already taken. But I like podcast MMM. It sort of, it does the job.
Podcast? Mmm.
That's it. And it makes us sound delicious.
I mean, we are pretty delicious. Right. I guess I'll begin because I got the winner from last time.
Yeah. That's it. You've got to do the reigning champ.
Okay. So, hailing in from episode 2. I mean, this is obviously a spoiler alert if you haven't listened to episode 2, but tough. Yeah, that's what you get for listening in non-chronological order, nerds, is Voldemort.
Because obviously, carry on in a winner stays on fashion, which is why it's important to either pick a place to start and just ignore everything before it, or start from the beginning.
Or listen randomly and hope for the best.
You could listen to it on shuffle, but you'd never know what's going on.
That sounds about normal. Anyway, it's old Lord Voldy, old No-Nose, old Lord Voldemort himself, Thomas Riddle.
Thomas Elvis Riddle, yeah.
Thomas Elvis Riddle. that was something we discovered. What was that the French name?
Yeah, his French middle name was Elvis.
Yeah, his French middle name was Elvis. So, old the Dark Lord. He is, of course, well known amongst people of our age because the books came out at the same time as we did. Not, that doesn't make much sense, but it does. He is the Dark Lord in the Harry Potter universe, a very powerful wizard. Some might say he's one of the most powerful wizards that has ever graced the land. He studied at Hogwarts. He is the last known relative of, what's his nugget, Slytherin?
Salazar.
Salazar Slytherin. But he's a half-blood, isn't he?
Yes, he is.
He is a half-blood. It's a bit cray, isn't it? And he's a bit racist against himself, but you know.
Well, yeah, he hates sort of all non-magic, so it's all like half-bloods because they're impure magics, and he also hates muggles and thinks they should be slaves.
Yeah, he does that. He studied at Hogwarts, we assume it's one of the best schools for witchcraft and wizardry. There's probably quite a lot across the world.
Certainly all the English people say it's the best. But they would, because it's the English school. It does seem a bit...
Well, that's like saying, you know, oh, Oxford or Cambridge are the best universities. And then people can go, well, what about Harvard? And you're like, that's probably a good one too.
Yeah, I mean, they're all good.
Yeah.
I think the reason Hogwarts is so brilliant is because, like, Dumbledore is their headmaster. And he is arguably, again, one of the best wizards ever.
So true. So we are treating Lord Voldemort as a pre-Battle of Hogwarts, Lord Voldemort. That is... He has split his soul into many parts, making the Horcruxes, but most of these Horcruxes have been destroyed. This is mostly for logistical ease, because it would be rubbish if we just said, oh, well, Lord, you have to travel the world and destroy all these Horcruxes to win. If you're like, well, you can't win then, can you? What's the point?
Had episode 1 gone differently, I feel like Link would have been really good at traveling around the world to find all the Horcruxes.
Oh my God, I would absolutely play that game. Like, imagine just a Zelda game, but instead of it in the Zelda universe, you are, like, running around trying to find the 7 Horcruxes of Lord Voldemort.
Right, because they could all be, like, at the end of a different dungeon or temple or whatever, and sort of...
They absolutely would be. And, like, some of them would be, like, you know, puzzle-y ones, like the potion that's in the... or the locket that's in the potion in the cave.
Yeah.
Yeah, but then like, obviously the Genie would be like a huge boss fight at the end of a temple.
Yeah.
Oh, that'd be well cool.
Get on that, Nintendo.
Get on it. Speaking of the Genie is the one Horcrux that we are treating him as having remaining because it's his own personal battle snake. Battle snake is a very strong term. It is a snake that we're assuming he's going to use in battle because why not?
Yes, because it can bite people and it's giant and it's quite powerful. I had an interesting question about Nagini I wanted to ask you.
Oh, yeah.
So where we have the Wednesdays on format and the episodes continue canonically,
mm-hmm.
if Nagini were to, say, be killed in this episode but Voldemort wins, would he have to go into next episode without Nagini?
I would. That's an interesting one. I think we should come to that if it comes up.
Okay, we'll decide as and when.
Yeah, decide as and when. I mean, that's mostly what we're doing.
Sure.
It's weird. So at Voldemort's disposal is obviously a lot of magical spells. Just kidding. He only really uses Avada Kedavra, which is a well-known spell, a flash of green, a bolt of green, that if it strikes you will instantly kill you, which is not good for anyone involved.
No, but it is worth mentioning, although that is his go-to spell, he does know other spells.
He does know other spells. He tends not to use them, but maybe he would. He's got stuff like the Crucio Curse. So the Crucio Curse puts people under horrific, agonizing pain. He's used in torture a lot, especially by evil people. He also has the Pierce Curse, is used for controlling other people, making them do your own bidding. Although it should be noted that people with a strong enough mind or will can resist it. So, I mean, like, you know, if you went out to, you know, old Joe Bloggs and Imperious them, they'd probably make you a cup of tea. But if you went up to Dumbledore and used it and he really didn't like you, he probably wouldn't make you a cup of tea.
I love the idea that your go-to thing you'd use a mind slave for is to make you a cup of tea.
Yeah, why wouldn't you do that?
I just feel like you'd be there, it'd be like a couple. So, like, hey, make me a cup of tea. Oh, I don't want to. Imperious, make me a cup of tea. It'd just be used for, like, yeah, domestic triviality.
Seven sugars.
No, honey, don't do it. You're diabetic. I said seven sugars.
And while you're at it, to make yourself one with nut milk. But I'm allergic to nuts with nut milk. As Lord Voldemort is all powerful and stuff, he actually has the ability to fly. It's pretty cool. Most wizards can't do that by themselves. Unfortunately for him, he has no nose.
How does he smell?
Awful.
Classic Voldemort jokes.
Classic Voldemort jokes. Disclaimer, Lord Voldemort, I don't think you smell. It's just a joke. Please don't kill me. I like you, Lord Voldemort.
He probably does smell. He has a body made out of a human hand.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, that's probably, we didn't really mention that before, did we? I mean, it's, for the sake of most things, he is essentially treated as a human, isn't he? But
yeah.
His body is made out of some magical spell by using some blood. Can't remember whose blood.
Harry Potter's blood. It was the blood of his enemy.
It was Harry Potter's blood. Yeah, the blood of his enemy, the body part of a
servant,
a willing participant, or a servant. Yeah, that was Peter Pettigrew's arm, or just his hand. And something else as well. But
his father's bone.
Ah, yes, that's the one. Yes. He went and dug up his father's bone.
Yeah, it's basically, it's almost like J.K. Rowling had just played Monkey Island 2 and knew how to make a voodoo doll, right?
It's like, I know what I could do with Voldemort for this. Also, at Voldemort's disposal, as you know, a couple of other things. Among the common spells, because of course he's going to be proficient in all these normal spells like Expelliarmus, which we didn't really go into last time.
No. But yeah, like the go-tos, anything you sort of imagine Harry Potter would learn, he would probably know.
Mm.
And then he'd also probably know some extra ones because he's a lot older and more experienced and just generally very good at magic.
Yeah, it's like the Orochimaru of the Harry Potter world.
Well, because he's got no nose.
Well, because, I mean, he's got a weird immortal body, which isn't quite immortal, and he's trying to learn all the spells. Except he's not trying to learn all the spells, but he does know a lot.
Yeah. And he's got a snake fetish.
Yeah.
Yeah, man, that would have been a cool fight. I'd like to see Voldemort and Orochimaru fight.
Honestly, I don't think they'd fight. I think they'd get along really well.
I'd like to see that tag team.
Oh yeah, my god, that was so good.
Right? Never mind the Link crossover of Harry Potter. Let's have Naruto and Harry Potter against Orochimaru and Voldemort. That'd be brilliant.
I mean, Naruto would probably... I don't know, actually. Naruto probably wouldn't be able to kill Voldemort very easily. Because
he's an idiot and he'd get Avada Kedavra.
He's absolutely an idiot, yeah. Like, he gets it all the time. He's like, if it was Sakura probably would be able to kill Lord Voldemort because she's a medical ninja and they're taught that the most important thing is not being hit. So she's bloody good at not being hit.
Yeah, and you know, I understand that she spends about 95% of Naruto being useless, but at the end, when she like learns to summon slugs and punch people, she's pretty cool.
When she learns to summon slugs and punch people. I mean, I know that's exactly what she does, it just sounds so stupid. It's like, I finally learned to punch someone. My hand.
I defy you to find a time when she actually does anything before that.
I mean, she punches Sasori, spoilers.
That's true, but only a little bit.
She came up with the antidote.
Yeah, but that's a non-combat thing.
It's still really useful. That's like saying, oh, Einstein, he didn't serve in any wars. He wasn't very useful.
Well, no, but I mean, like, she didn't do anything fighting-wise until quite near the end.
Yeah.
At least significantly. She did a few little...
Yeah, that's true enough. What else can old Voldy do? He's got the old Death Mark, which he can fire into the
dark
air.
Mark.
Makes a lovely... Dark Mark. Apologies. Fires a lovely green skull into the air. And summons any of his lovely allies who are around, who, for the assumption of a pre-Hogwarts Voldemort, is quite a lot of them, to be honest.
Yeah.
Although, to be honest, most of the time I don't imagine he'd go for that. Yeah, that's old Voldy in a nutshell.
I mean, he's a just pretty crazy and scary guy.
I just googled Voldy nutshell, and there's some really weird pictures.
Are they all Voldemort in a nutshell?
I mean, there's some weird pictures.
I like that in the last episode as well, you especially, but me kind of, both sort of said, you know, we're not Harry Potter experts, so we might get a couple of things wrong or miss a bit out. And what we've done between last episode and this one is not do any research. Any extra research. We did our initial research, but we didn't, like, improve upon it.
Well, I think I've done even worse than last time, because I can't find the notes for me to read. That's why I was struggling so hard. I mean, I couldn't find them.
You could have said, and I could have sent them to you.
Well, it's too late now. Yeah, go on.
I can move stuff. We can in post.
That's all right. I think it's more natural that we don't bugger all.
I won't bother them. You fool.
That was our reigning champ, Lord Voldemort.
We never introduced the other character who he's going to be playing against.
Oh, no, we sure didn't.
So, obviously, last time we gave the clue that he is a true English gent that has battled at least two Horsemen of the Apocalypse.
Indeed. So true.
From doing a bit of research, I still think it's only two, but there are suspicions that DLC might make him battle a third.
Oh, really? I was about to Google it myself, because the game has been released now, hasn't it?
Yeah. Well, apparently there is a Crucible DLC coming up for the third one.
Ooh.
So, without any further ado, without delaying it any further, without putting it off any more, without something else that wastes a bit of time.
What was wasting time?
I was stalling to try and build up dramatic tension.
Oh, I like it.
Yeah.
Carry on.
All right. So with only a bit more stalling. The new character going to fight Lord Voldemort is Wicked K. I know, right? Nobody has heard of who Wicked K is, except Wade.
That's wicked, mate.
It is, literally. Wicked K is a character from the Darksiders games. They're not the most big and best-selling games, but they've got quite a cult following.
I would agree that, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, they're obviously doing all right, because the third one has come out just before Christmas.
And that's after the original company, like, went down the pan.
Did they?
Yeah, because after the second one came out, THQ went down the drain. So, you know, they've revitalised themselves.
That's good. Is it, like, still Vertigo working on it, though?
Pass, to be honest. I don't have the kind of console to even bother looking it up.
That's fair. So you're a big fan of the Darksiders game?
I am. The first two, anyway. I mean, I haven't played the third one.
No. But, I mean, that's why Wicked K is here.
Indeed. I thought he was a cool lad.
So let me tell you some interesting things about Wicked K that you might not know.
Are you talking to me or the audience?
Both. I mean, I guess initially you, because you're here.
Tell me these things.
A normal Wicked is a standard enemy in the Darksiders games.
Yeah, they're chumps.
Yeah, they're like the easiest enemy, aren't they?
Yeah, you can kill them with a single button press.
They are the remnants of humanity have become Wicked because in the Darksiders games, the Apocalypse was forced to happen 100 years earlier than it was supposed to, which was very confusing to all of the angels, and thus demons were able to take advantage of the whole thing and rise up and take over Earth. And they own Hell and Earth.
Much is true.
And then in the hundred years that the apocalypse has been going on, so 100 years later from that happening, is when the Darksiders games are set, or at least the first one.
Yes.
So the human bodies that weren't completely destroyed have now been infused with so much demon energy, not like deliberately, just because it's in the atmosphere where demons now live on Earth, that their bodies have started to rise up as these things called the Wicked, and they kind of look like zombies, but with their hearts removed and the big sort of hole in their chest their heart would have been taken out of is now filled with like an orange glow of demonic power.
Great.
Yeah, they're pretty cool. So that's what a standard Wicked is, but they are brainless, stupid, rubbish enemies. Oh yeah, they've also got a hole in the back of their head, like where their brain's been taken out of.
Sure.
They do. I'm sure I saw that. Tell me if I'm wrong, Darksiders fans. But Wicked K is the only Wicked who has intelligence and the ability to speak, but the mysterious thing is, it's never explained why he's just different.
He is.
We don't know why or how he is different, just that he can talk and is intelligent and fight and he's powerful and he takes some killing.
He's the best goddamn brute of the apocalypse.
Oh yeah, this is my next thing, right? The reason he speaks in a posh British accent is because there was a bit of an in-joke amongst the team working on the game, because quite a few of the members of the team were English. So they had like this an ongoing in-joke about having a posh British Pip-Pip character. And they were joking about him for 2 years. But it was only a month before the first Darksiders game came out that they actually added him to the game.
I love it.
And in the first Darksiders game, he was a secret boss that was hidden in 4 different locations throughout the game. And if you found him and beat him in each location, he'd move to the next location. And if you beat him in all of them, then you were pretty cool. And in the second Darksiders game, there was a tower called the Crucible, which was like a gladiator arena. And if you did all 100 fights of that in one sitting, then you would unlock the ability to fight the owner of the Crucible, who turned out to be Wicked K. Ooh, mysterious. But the fact that he is the owner of a fighting death tower thing suggests that he is a very powerful adversary.
Indeed. Indeed it does.
So that's like the background of Wicked K. By the way, do you know, Wade, what K stands for?
Killington.
It is Killington. Well, it's never said in-game, but apparently the file that his data is in, if you sort of delve into it, is named Killington.
I think the French version as well is...
Oh yeah, he's not called Wicked K, he's just called Killington, isn't he?
Yeah.
But yeah, that's pretty fun. I'd quite like the name Killington.
Yeah, you could be a Killington. Could change it by default.
Yeah, Chris Killington.
Yeah. You might have to convince your wife to change your surname.
I could do that.
Yeah.
Good. I'll ask her. So the things he can do while he's fighting is he does fencing. So he is primarily focused on using counters and parries and sort of turning other people's attacks and momentum against them, or attacking with very lightning fast jabs and slashes. But the thing that makes him fun is he doesn't use a sword as traditional with fencing. He uses a cane that he also uses to walk around with.
What a lad.
Yes. I think further adding to his posh British demeanour.
Oh, absolutely. That's before we get to his top hat.
Yes, he also has a top hat. A magical top hat, because that's possibly the most British thing ever, to have a magical top hat.
Did any other culture ever wear top hats?
Not magical ones.
Yeah. I love it.
So his magical top hat, he can enlarge it to make it into a shield to block attacks. He can also enlarge it so it encompasses him, then it will teleport to other places to give him a good maneuverability while fighting. Or he can throw it quite odd job style and just sort of use its sharp edge to hurt people.
Ow.
There isn't really much more to say. Those are kind of all his abilities.
It's true.
He doesn't really do a lot.
He just does it well.
Yeah, that's it. He just does it really well. He does have some pretty good quips, I think. Before he fights Death, he says, "On guard, you boob."
Does. Capital, you made it.
Yeah, which is brilliant. And before he fights War, this is a really interesting one, I think. Wait, I've got the quote. He says, "Gentleman's rules, no low attacks or foul language."
Yes, he does. Gentleman's rules.
The fact he says gentleman's rules suggests to me that he is only interested in a fair fight and he won't use underhanded tactics.
Yeah, it's very true. I'd probably absolutely agree with you there.
Yeah, and that also sort of lends into his sort of typical British nature of having like a jewel or something.
Yeah, he's a very typical, not a nowadays British, but like olden days British.
No, we're all horrible now.
Yeah, we're all asses now. An old British gentleman. Oh, a capital! Oh, yes, let's have a jewel for the wedding of my daughter.
That's it.
If I win, I can marry Mary Rose, not the ship. Pistols of Dawn?
Yeah, all of that stuff, except without the pistols, because he uses cane.
But what's weird about that is obviously the Dark Side of the Apocalypse happens nowadays, the present kind of time. So he was a man like that in the present time, presumably. Unless he got reanimated from a mega dead human. We don't know. We just don't know.
We don't. That's part of the problem. If only we knew whether or not he was revived from a modern man or an old man, then we'd know more.
I mean, really, it wouldn't make that much difference.
But knowing would mean we knew more.
But you know what? It's time to learn more about.
Wait, I haven't finished. Oh. Because.
More about Wicked Kay then.
Yeah, well, this is the other thing. Wicked Kay being a reanimated corpse, so to speak, I would put him, like, as far as Harry Potter universe is concerned, the most similar thing would probably be the Inferi. Because they are corpses reanimated by dark magic. And I feel like dark magic and demon energy are probably quite close.
Mm, yeah, it's a good shout.
And so I did a bit of research on the Inferi and the rules and the lore behind them. Mm-hmm. And J.K. Rowling herself has said that no spells, including Avada Kedavra, would work on them other than spells that generate fire.
Okay, yeah, that's cool.
Yeah, so Voldemort will actually have to be thinking somewhat outside the box. Well, at least he probably won't initially. But eventually...
That's interesting, because like one of our first questions was going to have to be, does Avada Kedavra work on a dead person?
And actually doing some research and trying to be a bit semi-professional with this, I found out that
cool, because that would have been my personal opinion anyway. I believe that Avada Kedavra, I mean, I haven't found anything like official, but it makes it sound like it rips the soul out of the being, which is why they die instantly. And if you've been killed and then reanimated by energy, do you have a soul? I don't know. Probably not.
Yeah, I'm not sure.
Anyway, after 2 weeks of bullying and, you know, in a hospital and then up a mountain, Voldemort has retreated somewhere to tend to... He was my champion, wasn't he? Yeah, he was.
So he was on top of Triffin, the Welsh mountain.
Yeah.
Fighting with Sub-Zero in what was, unfortunately for Sub-Zero, somewhat of a absolute dicking.
It really was. Except... There was no dicks involved.
No, there wasn't. It wasn't a literal dicking. It was a figurative dicking. But now, let's find out, using the Die of Death, where this fight will take place. Oh, Wade, you're going to be so happy. So, for anyone who's played the game Time Splitters 3...
Oh, yes! What a ledge.
Wade's favourite stage from that is the Zeppelin.
I'm not sure it is my favourite, but it's a good stage.
The stage that Mr. Matt Wade suggested to me to add to this list was the Zeppelin from Time Splitters 3. So that is where this fight will be taking place, upon specifically not just any Zeppelin, but the Time Splitters 3 Zeppelin.
That is kind of important, because that stuff is bulletproof.
Yes, it's worth knowing that, although if you shoot the edge of the Zeppelin, like, steam comes out, doesn't it?
Yes, and then it heals after a short period of time.
Yeah, about enough time to do some rendering.
Yes.
But the point is that piercing the fabric of the Zeppelin won't cause it to crash.
So on top of the Zeppelin, there's a big, large open space in the sky. If you fall off, you plummet to your death, assuming you can't fly.
Speaking of if they can't fly, that's something I forgot. You did mention that Voldemort could fly, but
yes.
Wicked Kay, his top hat can also fly. So if he can ride upon his top hat, he can fly. Because that's what he does when he is defeated by death in the second game.
And he flies away. Yeah.
Flies away riding his top hat. Interestingly, though, he doesn't enlarge his top hat for that particular thing. He just stands on, like, sits on top of his top hat and flies off.
Well, you know, it's a very gentlemanly thing to do.
Sure.
You know, top hats have feelings, too.
Okay.
We'll start on top of the Zeppelin. Big open area. There's a couple of blade propellers that are propelling this Zeppelin forward. I think there's three or four either side. Honestly, the number isn't that important. There is two doors, one at the front and one at the rear, which lead inside the Zeppelin. On top of the rear one, there is a large tail fin type spoiler place. Where if we're going with the lore of Time Splitters, which we absolutely should do, there is definitely a weapon pickup spot. I can't remember what it is. I want to say it's like a monkey gun or something.
I don't think any of them had monkey guns. Well, all of the Time Splitters things were like, you could do custom weapons, didn't you?
Yeah, there's a weapons pickup there. I don't know if we're including that. We'll discover it soon enough. Once you go inside, there are three main rooms. So there's like a front chamber, a middle bit, and a back chamber. The front and back chamber are both split into various levels. And it's all like an open plan space. It's a kind of multi-story car park, but a bit more accessible. There's big bouncing pads inside the middle, which can launch you from the bottom to the top. And then from both of these rooms, one at the front, one at the back, there are multiple entrances to different levels of the middle room, which is more like a standard indoor area, like a lounge, you know, some other rooms, like an engine room, etc. And at the bottom floor, I believe there is a place where you can fall out the bottom out of a bomb hatch or something. Yes, there absolutely is. That is the main layout. Essentially, two kind of tower story rooms, a central, you know, room where, or a central area of bridges or rooms connect to those two levels, and then access to the top of a large open area outside.
Okay. Are you going to have them start in different spawn points and search through the Zeppelin and stuff?
Oh, I mean, that's an interesting question, isn't it?
Or are they just going to start together? Or is it just going to be like Voldemort chilling out in his Zeppelin, maniacally laughing? Because, I mean, evil villain in the Zeppelin.
Oh my god, so this is Voldemort's Zeppelin, and...
And the Wicked K is travelling through time to stop him, because time splitters.
Right, that's the canon. That is so good. It's so much better than any of the other things we come up with. That is the canon.
But also, I like that these are both British combatants playing off.
Yeah, Battle of the Brits in a German machine.
That's it, because before we had, you know, a Chinese versing a Hyrulean, now a Chinese versing a English, and now two English. Represent our home country and stuff.
Right, let's represent our home country on the battlefield.
Yes, so, I mean, Wicked K is just gonna, like, turn up. And I feel like he'd just introduce himself to Voldemort.
Oh yeah, he's just a capital.
Yeah. What, ho?
You must be the chap I'm after.
That's fine. You boob.
I don't think Voldemort's going to take you boob too well, let's be honest. And I don't think Voldemort's a patient man.
No.
I mean, actually, I think he is a very patient man in the books. I don't think he's patient anymore.
No, I don't think so.
I mean, yeah. I feel like he's patient until he gets his body, because he's just waiting on other things. And then he's like, oh my god, okay, right, finally I could do things.
Sure, he's more patient through necessity. Now he's very much like, let's rise to power. By the way, I think it's worth establishing, will Nagini be in cockpit with him? I imagine so.
Oh, absolutely, yeah. Yeah, there's no reason for it to be anywhere else.
Sure. So, yeah, so Wicked K would come in, be like, oh, I'm Lord Killington. I'm here to kill you. Let's have a proper fair fight, like British gents.
Gentlemen's rules. Yeah. No blows. Do you think Lord Voldemort would gentlemen's rules? I don't think he
absolutely
would.
Not. No, I think...
Absolutely not.
I think he'd be like, if we are going to use the quote, Wicked K would be like, oh, no gentlemen's rules, no low blows and no foul language. And then the response to no foul language would just be a Avada Kedavra.
Absolutely, it would be. And also, gentlemen's rules would imply, you know, no two-on-ones. That's not very gentlemanly. Voldemort's going to completely disregard that.
Sure. I almost feel like Voldemort wouldn't even look. Like, he'd just sort of...
Oh, just turn... Yeah, just turn around and fire it. Yeah.
Well, I mean, I don't even know if he'd bother turning around. Like, he'd just be like...
Well, I mean, how would he know where he was?
Because there's a small doorway to a cockpit of a Zeppelin, right?
Oh, yeah, but I mean, like, if you're holding a gun... And you just shoot over your shoulder blindly at a door. How likely are you to hit that doorway?
I don't know. Well, I mean, maybe he'd like half turn. I just wouldn't. But yeah, okay, fine.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah, no, half turn. That works.
I mean, he is flying a Zeppelin.
Well, I mean, a Zeppelin can pilot itself
All right.
For a while. How good is Wicked K at dodging at that kind of range? This room's fairly big. Not my room.
I don't think he's necessarily, from what I've read, that much into dodging, because he would more do parries and counterattacks, which wouldn't really work on spells.
Hmm.
I mean, he might try and block it with his enlarged hat shield.
Yeah, I suppose you could do that.
Yeah, he'd block it with his hat shield, and then the battle begins.
So, old Baldy, I assume he's sat down in his chair with, like, you know, Nagini crawled up next to him. What a perfect day, looking down on all the filthy muggles you'll exterminate. And then a weird English bloke pops in from, like, 200 years prior, what seems. And it's like, oh, gentleman's rules. And you're like, what the hell, Avada Kedavra, and you miss.
And he blocks it with a giant hat.
Yeah, well, that's essentially the same as you missing. I mean, it's not, but... So he's like, oh, what now? Yeah. He rises to his feet if he has them. I don't know.
He does.
He does.
Would he drop Nagini then, if Nagini was caught up on his lap?
Oh, I think it was caught up next to him.
Okay. What
was that? Yeah. It's a big snake, man. Have that on your lap. You'd be like, oh, God. do you even lift, bro? He'd start firing off another Advanta Kedavra. I don't think he's going to be too worried about one blockage. He's going to go for...
He's going to keep firing them.
A flurry of blows, I think, to try and break through a defence.
Kay has already got his hat shield ready.
He does.
He hasn't had to put it away, so I feel like he'd just block them all, no problems.
Yeah, he probably would. So what do you do? Someone's perfectly blocking you.
Does he need two hands to block with his top hat?
I wouldn't have thought so. It's a top hat.
Yeah. So he'd probably be blocking with his top hat, but then whilst doing it somewhat, like moving his one leg himself to side on, because it's, you know, more like the fencing pose, like putting one leg behind him and getting ready to retort. I don't know, is Voldemort moving towards him while he's firing these spells or staying still?
Absolutely. Yeah, I think he would be.
Like trying to get him to intimidate. So he'd be readying himself for when Voldemort got within jabbing range.
Yeah, it seems like a reasonable thing for him to do.
My main question, Nagini's, I think, is what's Nagini doing right now?
He'll be uncoiling, or
she,
uncoiling and slithering probably around the side. I don't think it would go for the straight on, because it's not like Voldemort's gone, oh, hey, that's a human, go eat them. It's like, I think Nagini is a smart snake for a snake. I think there's a bit of strategy. I think they'll go for a flank.
Okay, do you think Wicked K would notice this, or would he be too caught up with blocking spells?
Well, if he's a fencing man, so he's, well, we assume he's a fencing type man.
Fencing is traditionally one-on-one as well, so he'd probably be quite focused on Voldemort.
He's quite a tunnel vision sport. Don't get me wrong, I'm not saying he doesn't have awareness. I'm just saying he's probably so used to gentleman's rules, he probably doesn't, even if he did notice it, I'm not sure he'd consider it a threat. Do you know what I mean?
At least to start with. I mean, until Nagini sort of quite close, like up to his personal space and stuff, within, I guess, giant snake striking range.
Yes. Then he'll be like, you're a bastard.
Yeah, but he wouldn't swear about it, because no foul language.
No, that's true. No foul language. You turncoat.
You blackguard.
You blackguard and fiend.
Yeah. Another tough insult.
I love old timey wimey insults. So good.
I like her fop doodle. It's a really good insult.
A fop doodle?
Yeah. I've got it as a fridge magnet, and it's somebody who's stupid and clumsy.
I love it. I remember being called bone idle fop in English class by Mr. Wood.
There you go. That's probably the fop part of fop doodle.
Yeah, it was great, because we then carried on not doing work by Googling what fop meant. We were like, what does that mean?
Was it sort of stupid or idiot or something like that?
Yeah, let's do a good quick define now. Define fop. A man who is concerned with his clothes and appearance in an effective and excessive way.
All right.
Definitely that's also a foolish or silly person.
Yeah, that's more what I was going towards.
Yes, that's probably the one they're after. You bone idle fools! So good. Oh dear, right. Voldy, he's walking towards. Except it's not with the lasers, it's Advanta Kedavra.
Yeah, he's not using a laser blaster.
Voldemort turns kind of misty when he flies, doesn't he?
He turns into like black smoke, yeah.
Yeah, I think that he's noticing that he's got a good defensive stance, and this probably isn't going to do much. Like, obviously, he's not a fencing pro or something, but at the same time, he's not stupid. He's a skilled duelist.
Yeah,
he can tell when someone's probably not going to break. So he'll turn into mist and go do for the surround. So if we assume Wicked K is roughly in the doorway,
yeah,
he would go to one side while Nagini takes the sliver to the other side.
So surely, with the break from attacks, Wicked K can then do his own thing, right? He doesn't need to be so they're blocking. So he's definitely just going to teleport all up into Voldemort's personal space.
Okay. So I say he's going to, like, bowler hat and then teleport to the bowler hat.
No, he puts himself inside the hat, and then the hat moves, and then he comes out of it.
Okay.
So he's going to, like, and then move over and then be, like, come out of the hat, but within jabbing range, so he can then start his offensive.
I love it. Let's go.
So then he's just going to start hitting Voldemort with a stick.
I mean, it would hurt.
Yeah, absolutely. Especially as we've sort of mentioned before, because of his artificial body, Voldemort is quite a frail chap.
Jab, jab, jab. Voldemort's going to be like, argh!
My ribs.
You couldn't see my face, but I was making it like a face.
The face that says, I'm in pain and have no nose.
The best of faces.
Yeah. You know, and I feel like, let's be honest, the Wicked K is strong enough that he can fight the Horsemen of the Apocalypse. And like, if anyone's played Darksiders or seen any footage of it, even Death, who is like the scrawniest of them all, is proper built. He is a shithouse, really, isn't he?
Yeah. I mean, like, War's probably the most built with him.
He's basically square.
Do you like my shoulders? I don't know why I got this accent.
Yeah, I don't remember him being War. Scottish.
He isn't Scottish.
You're losing it now. The accent that gets slowly worse and worse.
Oh dear.
But my point is, if he can jab at them to the point it hurts them a lot, he's easily gonna like smash up Voldemort's ribs. Like, just like,
yeah, definitely. Bad news. But you know what's good news?
Voldemort can't die.
I mean, I was actually gonna say snake attack from behind. It's not very
gentle. Surprise snake attack.
But without the voice. That's a bite around the waist or something. Probably the waist or legs. Probably the waist. Legs are spindly.
I don't know, actually. Like, judging from Nagini's usual sort of attack you see in the film and the such, tends to sort of go for the throat. I mean, I understand it's coming from
okay,
behind.
Fine.
So maybe like a shoulder or something. Like, it knows the killing
okay,
points.
Cool. We'll go with that then. That makes more sense.
Yeah.
We'll go with that.
Also, for a swordsman, having his shoulders sort of hurt would be really bad.
Yeah. And if he's in a fencing pose as well,
he'd have one shoulder back, wouldn't he?
Mm. So obviously it wouldn't be his main shoulder.
No, but I mean...
His main shoulder.
Yeah, it wouldn't be the one from his cane-holding arm.
Yes, his undominant shoulder. Like, if you have a dominant hand and your dominant arm attached to your dominant shoulder and a dominant wife. Wait, what? I mean, so it would be his undominant shoulder because that would be the one that's back.
Yeah, it would be fixed.
Yeah, okay. So Nagini, right on that shoulder.
And be like, ah, you insolent fiend. That is not gentleman's rules.
How uncouth.
Yes.
You villain.
How uncouth is definitely what he would say.
I love it.
So he'd probably be staggered, yeah, so Voldemort could launch in with an attack.
I think Voldemort would just go for a cheeky Avada Kedavra.
Absolutely.
Like,
and this,
this
one
is
would
my
hit
time.
Him. Yeah.
Absolutely it would.
But it wouldn't do anything.
And you know what's going to be so exciting? Is it's going to strike him. And for the second time in Voldemort's life, he hasn't killed someone with an Avada Kedavra.
However, unlike the first time, I don't think it's going to completely like debilitate him and reduce him to a wandering spirit.
No, but he'll be like, what?
Yeah, he'll be thrown for a loop, certainly.
Avada Kedavra again, a second one, blast probably into the still trying to get Nagini off chest or back. And it does nothing. What does Voldemort do?
It looks at his wand like it's broken. So,
what is this? My repertoire of spells is all exhausted.
I really don't know. He'd probably try something else.
Whatever kind of things does he often use?
Well, like I say, the other one he tends to use a lot is the Crucio.
Mm. I think Crucio is a good shout in this backup plan.
Yeah.
Because
it renders somebody unable to move and in severe pain.
And he's still got a snake.
Yeah.
With him. Like, so, you know, it's good enough to kill.
Absolutely.
The question is, how, in this time that it's taken to do it, how is a old gentleman getting on?
Well, although not traditional and in stance and stuff, with a snake on your shoulder, I'm sort of miming this out. I understand it's pointless for a podcast, but I guess for my own sake, to prove that I can do it. I could, like, if I was holding... Say, if I had a snake on my left shoulder and I was holding a stick in my right hand, I could hit that snake.
Absolutely. Yeah.
So, possibly not with the same power and force that a proper stanced, like, fencing maneuver would hit with, but you could certainly get a few good hits on Nagini. And again, going back to how Nagini is used to fighting normal humans, not an undead creature with the power to go up against the Horsemen of the Apocalypse, I'm going to say he's going to hurt Nagini quite bad.
Yeah.
So I'd say he'd do a lot of damage, probably not fatal damage, but probably some quite severe damage to Nagini with just like three or four quick blows. Because that's the other thing, his attacks are like lightning fast, aren't they?
Mm.
So yeah, he'll get three or four good hits on Nagini, and then Nagini will let go and recoil in pain, possibly slink out of the room and try and go and hide somewhere.
And he'll get slapped with Crucio.
Yes.
Because obviously he's probably been slapped with these Avada Kedavras, but it's not affecting him, so he didn't really take notice of it. It was probably like a mild tingle, like a, ooh, that was a thing. And then he suddenly gets slapped with this. Do dead people feel pain? I think they absolutely do.
I think he does, because he's a sentient dead person, right?
Oh, but hang on, what was it you were saying earlier about spells affecting...
It didn't mention Crucio. It said that Well, I think it was they could only be defeated by spells that create fire.
So it doesn't mention that it doesn't affect them as a normal spell would.
No, they could just only be destroyed by fire.
That makes sense. So I would absolutely therefore imagine that Crucio would be effective.
Yes.
That would be my ruling in this diplomatic podcast.
Absolutely.
Of two people. Okay, so he gets slapped with a Crucio.
So that would cause him to buckle in pain and sort of writhe uncontrollably, unable to move.
Honestly, but the thing is, even if Old Wicked K's in a lot of pain, and obviously Voldemort's going to be enjoying this a lot, it's never going to kill him. Like, and Voldemort knows that.
But it does stop them moving because they're in so much pain they are right on the floor. So all he has to do is hold him there until Nagini comes back and eats him.
Yes.
Bites him.
I think it's a stalling move to enable Nagini to get a bit of recover and then come along. Voldemort knows it's not going to kill him because he knows these spells well enough. He knows it's mostly a torture spell and stuff. But he's enjoying it. Of course he is. He's like, ha ha ha, you silly English man. Would he consider him a muggle? Or is he like, you could teleport, but possibly you're a wizard?
He's definitely not a muggle because he looks zombie-ish, right?
Yeah.
Although that might be the thing. Because obviously, being somebody who uses the Inferi himself, Voldemort would know that the only way to kill an Inferi is to set them on fire. So at some point he'd have to, if he's going on a knowing, like acting like he knows, I understand Wicked K could be killed in manners, but he would be like, well, you know, traditionally the Inferi I'm aware of need to be killed by fire. At some point he'll have to let that spell go. He would probably not say to Nagini, hey, just try and bite him to death, because it would expect it, although it would work, he'd expect it not to.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, although it's like an Inferi he's never seen before, because, you know, most Inferi are just mindless. He's used this Avada Kedavra spell. It's hit and not done, I think. So he is, and it's obvious to the eye that there's something dead about Wicked K. So he would definitely be considering that he could be an Inferi. Obviously, Wicked K isn't an Inferi, he's a Wicked, but they're so similar that it makes sense to apply at least the set of rules that the spells didn't work to him.
Yeah.
But yeah, he would probably consider him an Inferi, a very advanced Inferi. And honestly, he probably wants to know how the hell he can make one.
Absolutely. But not right now, because right now it's trying to kill him.
Yes, that's very true. So therefore, I don't think he would get Nagini to bite him. I think he'd get Nagini to wrap him up, python style.
But Nagini isn't a constricting snake, it's a viper.
Oh, well, bollocks. He's got to do it anyway. What's his other option?
Well, he could release the spell, knowing that he could then try and fire off a quick incendio.
He could give it a go.
Because I think, especially considering him and Nagini are both relatively injured, at least in a physical form, I understand if Voldemort also can't be killed.
Mm.
He would potentially just tell Nagini to try and hide or retreat somewhere.
Okay, so if he does a little bit of a retreat while concentrating on the spell, so, you know, he's still in the same room, but he's back to disengaged distance.
Yes.
And then releases it and goes for an Inferi. Not Inferi, whatever
incendio.
The hell it's called. Incendio. So releases the Crucio and then Incendio.
What did we say? There's about 1 second delay in spell casting, isn't there?
Yes.
That was what we established last week. Mm. So do you think a second is enough time for Wicked K to react, bearing in mind how much pain he has been in?
He has been in a lot of pain, but he is dead. I think he's probably competent enough to at least make some attempt at blocking or evading. Whether it's successful or not, who knows?
I don't think he'd have time to enlarge his hat and move it and do all like the hat magic. He'd probably, especially where he's just in pain, he'd probably just try and roll out the way.
Yes. Yeah, I think that seems reasonable.
So he would probably be, at least take a glancing blow from the fire.
A glancing fire. I love it.
Yeah.
Now, obviously, because Wicked K isn't an Inferi, well, I'm not saying fire is be incredibly debilitating and annoying, but it isn't going to be the insta-kill that Voldemort thinks it is.
No.
I think he's just going to be on fire.
Just like his arm's on fire.
Yeah. Which arm? Rolling out the way. Is it a strong arm or is bad arm?
Yeah, I'd say this one's probably a strong arm. I'm thinking about, because as a right-handed person, I would roll left.
Yeah, no, I agree. If I was on the floor and I had to roll out the way quickly, one way or another, I would use my strong arm to push myself. And therefore, that would be the arm anchored to the ground. Yeah, I agree. Strong arm on fire. And at which point you'd be like, I'm looking for one of his... The burning! It is one of his genuine quotes.
Cool. Well, that suggests that he does get hurt by fire.
Oh, yeah. The burning! He gets up. Terribly sorry, but I'll have to kill you now. Take this, ruffian.
So then it throws out Voldemort, like, bam.
Yeah, Voldemort is going to be taken aback at this. He's gone, oh, I can kill you with a green spell. Ha ha ha, you're not killable by green spells. You must be an Inferi. I can kill you with fire. You're not dead or fleeing incredibly. Oh dear. Like, what do I do in this situation? And a bowler hat just come at him and probably slapped him in the face.
A bowler hat top?
No, top hat. Yeah, my apologies. But I think he's got some good reflexes. I think he could. I mean, I'm not sure how likely he is to use Expelliarmus, for example. But I think he could probably Expelliarmus the cane from that. You know, that's obviously Wicked K's main offensive weapon.
Sure.
Although he's just been hit with a thing, I think he'd go for an Expelliarmus on him.
Okay.
Classic.
That would work.
Yeah, I mean, why wouldn't it work?
I'd like to point out, though, due to the nature of Incendio, the area behind where Wicked K was, so I guess about mm-hmm. where the steering wheel for the Zeppelin is? Does the Zeppelin have a steering wheel? I don't know.
The doorway.
No, not the doorway, because he moved to the other side of the room, remember, because he teleported.
But while Voldemort was moving closer for a flank, so it was like the side of the room.
Yeah, all right, so that sort of side of the room would now be on fire.
It would. And you know what Zeppelins love being?
On fire.
On fire.
They're quite flammable, Zeppelins.
They are. Well, some of them are. It depends on what they're filled with. I'm led to believe that because you can use explosive weapons on Zeppelin in Time Splitters, that's probably filled with helium, not hydrogen.
Probably, yes. Certainly game mechanics-wise, you can't blow up the scenery. However, it would be a Zeppelin from the past and not a modern-day Zeppelin due to the nature of Time Splitters, which would lead me to believe it is actually more flammable if you were going to apply a real-world logic to it.
But equally, you could get helium-filled Zeppelins back in that time.
Oh, okay.
1922 was when Zeppelins started getting filled with helium. It was just more expensive than hydrogen, which is why they normally used hydrogen. But it certainly wouldn't be good for the Zeppelin.
No.
Right, anyway, old Kane, been kaspuzzled, that's a word.
I'm probably thrown into the fire.
Yeah, that's a good point. Into the fire. And Nagini, obviously, that fire is near the doorway. I think she's now locked out of this fight again. We're not trying to do this purposely. It just keeps happening.
No, like twice. I say, she can still get through the doorway. It's the side of the room that's on fire.
Okay, yeah. So, well, what can Voldemort do against this guy? He's got to kill him. He's got to know that he's got to kill him with fire or physically. He's got to go for another Incendio. It's got to be what he's got to go for. Right, he's de-weaponized him, made him a bit more vulnerable. Does he even aim for him? Does he aim for the floor and try to flee out the window? Because he can fly, he's Voldemort. What the fuck does he care?
So you think at this point Voldemort's plan is just to destroy the entire Zeppelin and fly away?
Yes.
He wouldn't do that because it would kill Nagini. He'd only do that if he could get Nagini out safely.
Very true. How's he going to get Nagini out safely?
Well, I don't know, because there's a Wicked K between the two of them.
So it's an interesting conundrum.
Maybe he would try and get Nagini to come back to him, come back to the fight, because not out of choice, just because he'd want to. Or he would try and get past Wicked K and through the doorway so he could catch up with Nagini.
I think set the room on fire, try get Nagini out of there.
He wouldn't set more things on fire until he had Nagini. He would try and get to Nagini first.
Okay. Out the window or through the room?
Through the room, probably. It would be the most direct route.
I mean, Wicked K hasn't got his cane on him. It's the ideal time.
Yeah.
Make a bolt for it. A fire bolt.
Uh-huh. So he basically just needs to do a spell to get past Wicked K, doesn't he? Like, he would have to disable him momentarily. So maybe he'd try another Crucio, because that would at least hold him in place. Or Petrificus Totalus, but he'd probably use Crucio, because it's just a more evil and fun thing to do, isn't it?
He does like being evil and fun.
Hmm. So he'd probably try and hit him with another Crucio, because he could use that to hold him in place while he got to the other side of the room.
Yeah, okay. Seems legit. So Expelliarmus, boom, Kane goes out.
Into the fire.
Followed up with a quick Crucio. Wicked K drops to the floor.
Well, I don't know. I reckon by the time he fired the Crucio, like, especially if he's been sort of Expelliarmus and stuff, he'd have his hat block ready.
Yeah?
Yeah?
Yeah, it would have come back to him.
I think he could block the Crucio.
Okay, block your block. Voldemort's obviously still making a smoky run for it.
You think he'd try and run for it even though his spell hadn't landed?
Well, not necessarily a run for it, but definitely a reposition to make, you know, to be able to make it better.
Sure, I'm basically willing to allow it because I want this thing to happen, right? So I like the idea that Voldemort is flying off in his black smoke and
yeah.
Like, the magical hat is just following him because Wicked K is teleporting.
Okay, yeah.
So they both basically just travel in their incomperial forms until they caught up with Nagini.
And then a new part of the Zeppelin will be set on fire.
Yeah, so now I reckon they're probably in that, like, big central room sort of thing with, like, the jump pads.
Hmm. Oh, here's an interesting dilemma.
Yeah.
Obviously, Wicked Kate very gentlemanly. He's going to go after Lord Voldy Voldy first.
Mm-hmm.
But he's not going to be able to kill him or anything.
No.
Until Nagini's dead.
Yes.
Which he's not even going to target on.
He'll hit Nagini in response to things.
Yes.
And I think if he got to the point where Voldemort's body was completely broken, like to the point...
Yeah, incapacitated.
Then he would probably then turn his attentions to Nagini, because Nagini would still be trying to eat him.
Yeah, so he's got to get... He's got to incapacitate Lord Voldy Voldy.
Yes, and then fight a snake.
That probably won't be too much of a hassle.
Well, he doesn't have a cane anymore.
Oh, that's true. He's just got a hat.
I mean, in theory, he could probably use his hands for combat. It's just not what his preferred method is.
Mm. Okay, so they catch up with Nagini in this big open room. Let's pretend Nagini's on the second floor. Noel Voldy unsmokes on the second floor.
Maybe like a second or two behind him. Wicked K would pop out of his hat, ready to fight.
On guard, you boob. Finish what you start. So funny. Something along those lines. But no cane this time. Just a bowler hat. Thrown. He's going to have to throw it. He's not. The bowler hat is not a close combat weapon.
No. But though, I suppose it could be.
Yeah, I mean, but it's like trying to use a bow and arrow at close range, isn't it? It could be, but you'd rather use it at long range.
For sure, yeah, he throws his hat at Voldemort.
What's old Voldy going to do?
Get hit by a hat, probably.
Get hit, probably get hit.
Because he's too busy. Yeah. He's not expecting somebody to teleport up behind him, and he's trying to rescue with Nagini. Voldemort would be crouching over Nagini, ready to pick it up and sort of teleport it away.
He gets struck with a bowler hat.
Yeah, right in the back. Like, cracks his spine or something.
I think he's going to, similar to how the fight started, reel around and fire off his spell.
Really? You don't think it would just knock him over?
Well, I mean, maybe.
Because I think the upsetting thing is, I think it would knock him over, which would, in theory, give Wicked K a massive advantage, but Wicked K just wouldn't use it. It would wait for him to get back up because he's a fair fighter.
Yeah. Okay. I like that more.
And that's really distressing because it's like, oh, Wicked K, you could absolutely kill him, but you won't because you're too much of a gent.
You bloody British bloody. Yeah, knocks him over. Lord Voldemort's on the floor, like, ah. And he's like, gentlemen's rulers, get up now.
Yeah, get up or submit.
Yes, get up or submit.
Not submit. Maybe like, get up. Do you forfeit, sir?
Yes, do you forfeit? I think, obviously, we should clarify right now that if someone was to forfeit, that would count as a victory.
Because I think Voldemort would absolutely reply yes and then just set him on fire.
Yes, so yeah, if someone was to honestly and sincerely forfeit to save their own life, which isn't going to be a thing that Voldemort's going to do, but in case it comes up in future episodes, I think that would be legitimate as a count as a victory or a loss.
Okay.
But yes, we're like, I submit. And then, of course, he doesn't submit, he just fires incendio in his face. From the floor, not even getting up, because obviously Wicked K would be more on guard again.
You know what would be worse? Is he'd be like, I submit, and Wicked K would go over and maybe like hold out a hand and lift him up.
Yes, he would.
And then just like incendio.
Johnny could show old Bean, and then incendio to the face. Wicked K is in very much pain and agony as he's burning in face burning. How long does the fire last of incendio?
As long as an actual fire. It just creates a fire. So how long does the fire take to go?
Oh, okay, yeah. So how does one put your face out of fire?
God. You could pat it down, I guess, couldn't you?
Yeah, I guess you could. So Wicked K is going to, I think, do a stop, drop and roll.
Yeah. But whilst doing that, I mean, he's only going to get incendio.
Yeah. He probably would. More incendio. A bit more crucio. Some maniacal laughing.
That's it.
Can he boulder hat his what? Boulder hat? Can he boulder hat teleport his way out of this?
I don't think so.
Oh, Wicked K.
Because he's too busy on fire trying to deal
I'm
with
sorry,
the
I couldn't
fire.
Do my homework. I was too busy on fire. Oh no, Wicked K. There's such a good chance.
Yeah, I feel like ultimately that might be it for Wicked K. I think that would be where he'd be defeated.
Just too much of a gentleman. And no cane.
Going into this, as soon as I learned the fact that he only likes the fair fight, I thought, well, that's it. He's going to lose.
Yeah. You know what? I hadn't even considered that when I thought about it originally. Because when I thought about it, I was like, you know, Voldemort's got some good powerful spells. But at the end of the day, his main one is going to be ineffective. I think Wicked K's got a good shot.
Mm.
I hadn't considered the moral compass.
I hadn't considered he'd be immune to Avada Kedavra until yesterday when you were like, you know, will that work? And I was like, oh. And then I looked it up and I was like, oh, it won't. That will help him. But yeah, I just think he's just too nice of a guy, which is weird for like the most powerful boss in a game, right?
Yeah.
Like the hardest challenge of Darksiders, and he's just like...
Well, I think let's pan back in a sec, because this is a beautiful shot. You know, Voldemort, Booker K is reeling around on fire. Voldemort, no use for this Zeppelin anymore. Somehow rescues Nagini. I don't know how he carries him out. And sails...
Because anything Voldemort is touching when he turns into black smoke also becomes the black smoke, doesn't it? Because don't they have the bit at the end of the film where him and Harry are like all over the world?
Oh, sure. That's cool. That works. Rescues him, zooms out, and watches a cascading zeppelin of fire crash and burn into...
the ocean. It's above the sea, the zeppelin, isn't it?
It's above somewhere. But, I mean, there's a 70% chance if it's above a random place on Earth that it's above the sea.
Yeah.
Cascades into the sea, smouldering, crunching, steam everywhere, and fire and smoke, and a massive shot, a green skull into the air, so he could be like,
and then
this is what I've done.
He'd fly off to the hospital from the first episode to get himself patched up, ready for episode 4.
Yes.
Well, I mean, let's be honest, but... He'd also probably go to a vet.
Yeah.
Because, you know, I imagine he's definitely got some broken ribs, and Nagini's probably also got a few fractures or breaks in its skeleton somewhere.
Yeah.
I was going to say in its ribs, but it's basically all ribs.
It is entirely ribs. Oh, Wizzle K. You could have done it.
But, excitingly, that means it's the first time somebody's ever won 2 episodes in a row.
Yeah, it is.
Man, I wonder who will defeat Voldemort next time.
If someone could defeat Voldemort.
Yeah, well, that's it. I wonder. I meant to say who will challenge Voldemort next time, and that's but and yes, if they will defeat him.
Well, give me a clue. Let's make it a surprise. So I don't know.
So you're not going to know either.
Yeah, I'll see if I can guess who it is.
Okay. So, as is tradition, the clue for who will be challenging next time is that this is the first comic book character we are going to have.
Oh, okay.
And it is somebody who is not from Earth.
Okay.
Is that enough, or do you want something else?
Well, I have a feeling I know who it might be, but I don't know.
Well, who do you think it might be?
I don't know. Well, I mean, my first guess was just Superman.
Yeah?
Yeah.
I mean, he would fit into that criteria.
He would, yeah. I don't think it is Superman, because you don't really like Superman. Therefore, I don't think you'd pick him. But...
I'm not a big fan of Superman, no. My main problem with Superman is I don't like characters who are virtually impossible to kill.
Yeah.
And I feel like, especially with Superman, he's just got far too many powers. I actually prefer Superman from like the 1930s when Superman first existed, and he only had 2 powers.
Well, like strength and flight.
He didn't have flight. No, he had 3 powers, sorry. He was super strong, he was bulletproof, and he could jump as high as tall as a building.
Which building?
I don't know. It didn't really matter. Like a New York building, so like a tall building.
Yeah.
I don't know. It might have been specifically a skyscraper or something. I'm not sure. But he could jump really high. Because that was what eventually evolved into his flight. His flight is just like combining super strength and super jump.
Oh, okay.
So, you know, the flying I'm not too worried about. Like, that's reasonable. But I just felt like once he started getting like laser eyes and ice breath and heat breath and all sort of thing, it just felt like he had too many powers going on and he just became too ridiculously good at everything.
Yeah.
It's sort of my thing with Superman. But yeah, but it could be Superman. But yeah, a comic book character who's not from Earth. That's my things.
Nifty.
Cool. As we mentioned at the beginning of this episode, episode 1 should in theory be live to the public today.
Yeah, probably by the end of the day.
Yeah, hopefully some point this evening. It will be available on tinkertailorsoldiersponge.com. I think it's going to be available on YouTube as well.
Oh, YouTube.
I mean, it might not be, but I'm pretty sure it is. And it will, in 3 days' time, be available on iTunes.
What? Weird delay.
Yeah, apparently it's something about starting a new thing on iTunes. It has a slight delay. Only the first episode will be delayed, and then all the rest will come out on iTunes at the same time as they come out on TinkerTailorSoldierSponge.com.
Oh, yeah.
So, that means there is a reasonable chance that at least 1 or 2 people will go and visit us on Twitter at PodcastMMM.
Definitely not at Mishmash Mayhem.
No, it's not. It's at PodcastMMM. It is called, the page is called Mishmash Mayhem. Admittedly, due to a slight delay, if you do visit that site today, on day 1, there won't actually be any art on it. The art will be up tomorrow.
That'll be right.
Yeah. So it'll look a bit boring if you've seen it on day 1. I don't know why I'm bothering to explain this to people, because obviously they won't hear this for another few weeks, but never mind. But the reason I wanted to bring it up is because I would like to thank both you for designing our logo, and also my good lady wife for designing our cover art. And, you know, you've done some good work on the art.
Thank you. Thank her.
I will thank her. Well, I have. Yeah, several times. It's brilliant. I really like it. So that's... But yes, please do go to our Twitter. You can tell us how you thought this fight would have gone. If you think that we did it well, then please tell us that. It's always nice to be told nice things. But if you disagree with what we said, then tell us that too.
I will tell you you're bloody wrong.
No, it won't. We'll be far too Britishly gentlemanly to do that.
Yes, we would.
Also, you can go to our Twitter if you want to suggest a character to take part in the Mishmash Mayhem. It was Perry, a good friend of ours, who suggested Voldemort, and he's now going to be in 3 episodes. So
bloody Voldemort.
Yeah. I know that there's anything wrong with one winning multiple episodes. You know, if they deserve to win, they deserve to win.
Indeed.
Similarly, you can suggest a location for us to fight to be added to the Die of Death list. And who knows, you might see some people battling in a fun location you've picked. The locations can either be sort of a general thing, like we've had a hospital before, or they can be a specific place from reality or fiction. Doesn't matter.
As vague, as specific as you like.
Yeah, but if it's one that we like, we'll add it to the list.
Maybe even if it's even one we don't like, but we think will be cool.
Yeah, that's it. Like, I don't know, my mum's house.
Do you not like your mum's house?
I mean, it's okay, but I wouldn't necessarily have chosen it for a battle arena.
Yeah, that's fair.
But, I mean, if somebody put on, hey, why don't you do your mum's house? I'd be like, well, I mean, that could be funny.
It'd be quite small, wouldn't it? Maybe like, the clock struck 13. Not because...
Yeah, if we do, there is a broken clock in the living room.
But yeah, it strikes 13 hours. It's very
strange. To be fair, though, I mean, it's doing quite well for itself in the way that it's still, other than chiming, like the actual clock part still tells time and works, which, considering it was a wedding present for my parents, like, it's doing all right.
Yeah, it's not bad, is it?
Yeah, it's got quite a good life on it. Do you have anything else you want to say? Any reflections, like anything you thought was particularly good for the people today? Or?
Well, you know, it was a good arena for both of them, really. If it had gone to outside, you know, it could have been quite nice. I just feel it was the Wicked Case had such a good chance, and he's just too good. He's too kind. He's too gentlemanly to win a 2v1 where you have to kill the non-participating foe first. It's not a good scenario for him.
You know what we need? We need him to fight Indiana Jones because he'd aim for a snake first.
What do you mean, Voldemort versus Indiana Jones?
Yeah, Indiana Jones would be like, oh, I hate snakes, must kill the snake.
He would. He'd fire off one shot and then get a bargain diamond.
But he'd have killed Nagini, and, like, you know, that's better than anyone else's done so far.
That's true. Oh, dear. It would be the shortest fight ever. It would be so funny. It would be just like that episode, the scene in the film where, you know, like, the guy swings his sword around and Indiana Jones goes, gun!
Yeah.
I love it.
So thank you for listening to episode 3 of
Mishmash Mayhem.
I hope you've enjoyed it, and I hope you will tune in next time. Bye.
Catch you later, y'all. This is the awkward silence at the end of a recording.